Chapter 65. Johnny DeLange blew the face of the drive twice before 9 o'clock, cutting 30 feet further into the glassy green dike. He had found that by drilling his cutter blast holes an additional 3 feet deeper, he could achieve a shatter effect on the serpentine rock, which more than compensated for the additional drilling time. This next blast, he was going to flout standard regulations and experiment with double-charging his cutter holes. He would need additional explosives. "Big King!" he shouted to make himself heard above the roar of drills. "Take a gang back to the shaft station. Pick up 6 cases of Dynagel." He watched Big King and his gang retreat down the drive. And then he lit a cigarette and turned his attention to his machine boys. They were poised before the rock face, sweating behind their drills. The dark rock of the dike absorbed the light from the overhead electric bulbs. It made the end of the drive a gloomy place, filled with a sense of foreboding. Johnny began to think about Davy. He was suddenly aware of a sense of disquiet, and he moved restlessly. He felt the hair on his forearms come slowly erect, each on a separate goose pimple. Davy is here. He knew it suddenly and surely. His flesh crawled and he went cold with dread. He turned quickly and looked over his shoulder. The tunnel behind him was deserted, and Johnny gave a sickly grin. "Shia Madoda!" he called loudly and unnecessarily to his gang. They could not hear him above the roar of the drills, but the sound of his own voice helped to reassure him. Yet the creepy sensation was still with him. He felt that Davy was still there, trying to tell him something. Johnny fought the sensation. He walked quickly forward, standing close to his machine boys, as though to draw comfort from their physical presence. It did not help. His nerves were shrieking now, and he felt himself beginning to sweat. Suddenly, the machine boy, who was drilling the cutter hole in the centre of the face, staggered backwards. "Hey!" Johnny shouted at him, and then he saw that water was spurting in fine needle jets from around the drill steel. Something was squeezing the drill steel out of its hole, like toothpaste out of a tube. It was pushing the machine boy backwards. "Hey!" Johnny started forward, and at that instant, the heavy metal drill was fired out of the rock with the force of a cannonball. It decapitated the machine boy, tearing his head from his body with such savagery that his carcass was thrown far back down the drive, his blood spraying the dark rock walls. From the drill hole shot a solid jet of water. It came out under such pressure that when it caught the machine boy's assistant in the chest, it stove in his ribs as though he had been hit by a speeding automobile. "Out!" yelled Johnny. "Get out!" And the rock face exploded. It blew outwards with greater force than if it had been blasted with Dynagel. It killed Johnny DeLange instantly. He was smashed to a bloody pulp by the flying rock. It killed every man in his gang with him. And immediately afterwards, the monstrous burst of water that poured from the face picked up their mutilated remains and swept them down the drive. Big King was at the shaft station when they heard the water coming. It sounded like an express train in a tunnel, a dull bellow of irresistible power. The water was pushing the air from the drive ahead of it, so that a hurricane of wind came roaring from the mouth of the drive, blowing out a cloud of dust and loose rubbish. Big King and his gang stood and stared in uncomprehending terror until the head of the column of water shot from the drive, frothing solid, carrying with it a plug of debris and human remains. Bursting into the T-junction of the main 66-level haulage, the strength of the flood was reduced, yet still it swept down towards the lift station in a waist-deep wall. "This way!" Big King was the first to move. He leapt for the steel emergency ladder that led up to the level above. The rest of his gang were not fast enough. The water picked them up and crushed them against the steel mesh barrier that guarded the shaft. The crest of the wave burst around Big King's legs, sucking at him, but he tore himself from its grip and climbed to safety. Beneath him, the water poured into the shaft like bathwater into a plug hole, forming a spinning whirlpool about the collar as it roared down to flood the workings below 66 level.